It is good to see each and every one of you here this morning. We are so glad that you came out to be with us and that you came out to study God's Word. Just before I get into this morning's lesson, a reminder. Last week, I started talking about a doctrine that we call the 70 AD doctrine, or realized eschatology. I will continue the study on that this evening. So I encourage each one of you to be here and to look at the things that are taught by those who believe that doctrine and how they contradict or how they align with the Bible, whichever the case might be. So I would invite you to be here for that this evening. When we look at Matthew, the 15th chapter, we find there that Jesus has been confronted by the scribes and the Pharisees, i.e. the religious leaders of that day. They are upset because his disciples weren't doing as they thought his disciples ought to be doing. Today, as we look around us, we find that many human traditions have found their way into the belief and practices of modern religious bodies. Things such as instrumental music in worship, observance of religious holidays, or sprinkling or pouring for baptism, and many others that we are well familiar with. As we look at Matthew 15 and how Jesus dealt with the issue in that day, we find that there is some information that we need, even in our day, to help us understand what the Bible says on this particular subject. We find that this passage gives us a very stern warning by showing us what human traditions do. One of the things that human traditions tend to do is that they tend to elevate men to the level of God. If you noticed in the first two verses of that chapter, chapter 15 of Matthew, he says the Pharisees, or Matthew says, the Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat." They had made this tradition a law. As far as they were concerned, this tradition ranked right up there with all of the laws that God had given them. If you broke this tradition, then you were walking in sin. That's the implication that they are giving at this particular time. I submit to you that they should have been more concerned with transgressing the law of God. After all, that's what determines whether something is sin or whether something is not sin. If you turn over to 1 John chapter 3 at verse 4, John says, "Everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness." In other words, the idea behind what John had said in that particular case is that when we commit sin, we are violating law. What law are we violating? Obviously, the law of God is what is under consideration at that time. We need to remember that the ideas and opinions of men are not the standard by which we determine what is right or what is wrong in religion. Sometimes, and if you look into the Old Testament, you find this to be the case. If you look into the New Testament, you find it to be the case. We are given examples of those who followed their traditions or followed the commandments of men, if you would like to put it that way, or the opinions of men. And we see what happened. For instance, if you will turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. Paul says, I have been informed concerning you, my brethren, by Chloe's people, that there are quarrels among you. Now I mean this, that each one of you is saying, I am of Paul, or I am of Apollos, or I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ. They had decided among themselves that either Paul or Apollos or Peter or Christ, one was more important than the other. What this one said carries more weight than what that one said. Paul takes them to task over that because they have decided to follow a particular person rather than following God. Now the last one there in a line, of course, following Christ, would be perfectly acceptable. But he lays that up beside the others because there was so much confusion as to who was right and who was wrong and what we ought to do and what we ought not to do, that probably none of them were doing it as they ought to be doing it. If you go down just a little bit to chapter 2, you find that he deals with this very idea. There in verse 1 he says, when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. Well, what did he say? He said, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, he said, these things, brethren, I have figuratively applied to myself and Apollos for your sakes, so that in us you may learn not to exceed what is written, so that no one of you will become arrogant in behalf of one against the other. In other words, don't follow men, follow God. We have all kinds of warnings in the New Testament against following the teachings of men. If you look in Matthew chapter 7, verses 15, down through verse 20, we find there, he says, beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit. And he goes on. Verse 20 says, so then you will know them by their fruits. I.e., you can look at a person and listen to what they say, and does it correspond to that which God has said, or does it correspond to that which man has said? And we can know the difference. You look in Acts chapter 20, verses 29 and 30. Or look in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. You find warnings against following the teachings of men. Because of the seriousness of these warnings, everyone who wants to please God would do well to investigate their religious beliefs and practices and see if they align with the Bible. Well, what else do the traditions of men do? Many times the traditions of men disregard Bible teaching. If you remember over there in Matthew chapter 15, you found there that in verses 3 down through 6, that Jesus tells them that they are transgressing the commandment of God in order to keep their traditions. Now, the fact that they washed their hands, let me put my next thought up there. The fact that they washed their hands before they ate wasn't the problem. I suspect that if I ask everyone in this audience, how many of you wash your hands before you sit down at the table and eat? Go ahead and raise your hand. I suspect if I did that, that every hand in this room would go up. It's not the idea that they were washing their hands before they ate that was the problem. It was the fact that they had made it into a command. This tradition had become so ingrained that you couldn't change it. If you didn't wash your hands before you ate, you were defiled. And if you were defiled, that meant that you couldn't worship God and that you were in sin. Jesus, on the other hand, shows us that that's not the truth. When we look at the things that we see there, we need to understand that the Bible gives us everything that we need in order to be pleasing to God. If you look over there, excuse me, if you look over there in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, a passage that most of us are familiar with, it tells us all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. That tells us that God has given us everything that we need. We can be instructed from the Bible. We can be corrected from the Bible. It gives us everything that we need. Peter made almost the same statement. Whoops. When you turn over to 2 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse 2 down through verse 3, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ, or of Jesus our Lord, seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. Paul, in writing to Timothy, says that God has given us everything we need for instruction. Peter, in his letter, says God has given us everything we need to know how to live our lives. I.e., the Bible gives us that which we need. We talked, two or three weeks ago, I guess it was, did a sermon on is the Bible relevant today? And we took we took 10 different social ills that society suffers from today, and we showed through Scripture where the Bible has the cure for those societal ills. The Bible gives us everything that we need. We don't need human traditions. But when Paul preached to the Bereans, how did they determine whether or not Paul was telling the truth? They went to the Scriptures. Look at Acts chapter 17, verses 10 and 11. Paul and Silas are in Thessalonica. The people are not listening in Thessalonica. In fact, they are fixing to do Paul and Silas some bodily harm. And it says, the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. Now these, who? The Jews in Berea. These were more noble-minded than those, the Jews in Thessalonica. For they received the word with great eagerness, examining the Scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. These Jews in Berea, when they heard what Paul and Silas had to say, they went to God's word to see if Paul and Silas were telling the truth. And when they confirmed they were telling the truth, they accepted it. Therefore, lest we also find ourselves disregarding Bible teaching, we need to search the Scriptures and make sure that we're following the oracles of God. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11, whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. We're supposed to be following God's word. That passage makes it very clear that people cannot respect what God's word says when they're following human traditions. What else might we find? Jesus said that following a human tradition makes one's religion vain. Many people in the religious world, now, don't get me wrong when I say this. Don't think that I am being particularly unkind to people, or that I don't like them, or that I want to make fun of them, or anything of that nature, because that's not the truth. But many people have the idea that it doesn't matter what one believes or practices, as long as he is honest and sincere. But is that what the Bible teaches? Now, if the Bible teaches that, then I will accept that. But if the Bible does not teach that, then it needs to be corrected. Look at James chapter 1, verse 26. James tells us that it is possible for one's religion to be in vain. He says, if anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. New American Standard Translation. He says it is possible for one to think he is religious when in fact he isn't. What makes religion vain and useless? Whether pertaining to an unbridled tongue or to human traditions, is not conforming to the doctrine of Christ. In 2 John, verses 9 through 11, The New American Standard reads this way: anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teachings of Christ does not have God. The one who abides in the teaching, he has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house and do not give him a greeting, for the one who gives him a greeting participates in his evil deeds. Some people have taken that to mean that you can't even say hi to somebody. That's not what he was talking about. But let me explain something to you about this particular passage. The New American Standard says if anyone goes too far. The Greek word that is used there and translated goes too far in the Old King James, I believe, is translated transgresses. The Greek word that is used there more properly should be translated progresses. Anyone who becomes progressive does not abide in the doctrine of Christ. You know, this is not a political speech, okay? So get that out of your head real quick. But when you look around in our society today, we have a couple of different factions at work. We have one that they call conservative. We have another one that they call progressive. Conservatives want to look back on things and say, well, this has always worked. Let's leave it alone. Progressives say, well, it might have worked in the past, but you know, we think we have a better idea. That's old-fashioned. John, through inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said anyone who decides to become progressive is violating God's law. Remember when he said sin is lawlessness? So if he's violating God's law, he must be walking in sin. Human traditions have a tendency to make people feel religious, while in fact many times they're guilty of rejecting God's word and establishing their own brand of righteousness. The Jews were guilty of this in their day. Paul, in Romans 10, first three verses, says, brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for them is for their salvation. For I testify about them that they have a zeal for God, but not in accordance with knowledge, for not knowing about God's righteousness and is seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. Well, what is he saying there? He's saying that they have decided to follow their own traditions rather than follow what God has to say. All right, now, we talked a few moments ago about how it disregards Bible teaching. We talked about how it makes one's religion in vain. They claimed that anyone who was defiled or anyone who, let me rephrase that, anyone who didn't wash their hands was defiled. In fact, following human traditions is the problem. That is what defiles a man. If you look at Matthew chapter 15 and you start down about verse 10 and you work down through there, but specifically verses 10 and verse 11, you find says, after Jesus called the crowd to him, he said to them, hear and understand. It is not what enters into the mouth that defiles the man, but what proceeds out of the mouth. This defiles the man. He said it's not what you put in your mouth that defiles you. It's what comes out. And he talked about why. The Pharisees believed just the opposite. If it's what comes out of the mouth, How can that be? Well, in Galatians chapter 1, Paul addresses this very thought. In verse 6, he says, I am amazed that you so quickly deserted him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another. Only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. As we have said before, so say I again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you received, he is to be accursed. I.e., if he starts telling you that you have to follow this, that, or some other tradition, then you have a problem. Jesus also taught that what comes out of the mouth actually proceeds from the heart. Now, this is not a lesson on how we ought to dress. Okay? We can address that some other day. In fact, there are several passages that address it in different ways. This is not a lesson on whether or not we ought to be wearing specific clothes, but rather a thought on the heart. Jesus said, it's not what goes in that defiles, it's what comes out. Because what we say comes from the heart. You've heard the old term when somebody says something, oh, I didn't mean that, or oops, Freudian slip. No, it's not. Is no such thing. That's what the person was thinking. That's how the person felt, or they would not have said it. Now, that application goes further than just what we say out of the mouth. I was talking to a man about the way he dressed to show up for services one day. And his response to me was, God doesn't care what I wear. God cares about my heart. What did Jesus just say in Matthew chapter 15? Everything that we do or say comes from the heart. When somebody says something that is offensive, it wasn't an accident. They intended to say it. Now, be very careful with what I just said. And the reason I said be very careful with what I just said about that is that oftentimes we take offense when the person who said it had no offense in mind. So be very careful with that statement that I just made. But my point is, we don't say things off the cuff without thinking. We think about it. And then it comes out of the mouth. And whatever comes out is where we need to be. We must be careful not to allow our hearts to be led astray by doctrinal error. If you look in Hebrews 13 at verse 9, do not be carried away by varied and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods through which those who were so occupied were not benefited. People risk their souls on human traditions. Oftentimes they show very little respect for the purity of God's truth. Thus they are spiritually defiled in the sight of God. Now, one more thought I want you to think about, and then the lesson will be yours. Okay? They deceive those who follow them. When you look at Matthew 15 once again, and you start in verse 12, the disciples came and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this statement?" But he answered and said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father did not plant shall be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if a blind man leads a blind or guides a blind man, both will fall into the pit." I dare you. Close your eyes and try to lead somebody out of this building and see how quick both of you run into the wall. Jesus said that these people who follow human traditions are not plants which the Heavenly Father has planted. Some plants look deceptively like others, but aren't what they really are. Remember a story that Jesus told, a parable that he told in Matthew chapter 13, down about verse 24, when he made that very point. Matthew chapter 13, verse 24. Then Jesus presented another parable to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went away. But when the wheat sprouted and bore grain, then the tares became evident also. The slaves of the landowner came and said to him, 'Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?' And he said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' The slaves said to him, 'Do you want us then to go and gather them?' But he said, 'No. For while you are gathering up the tares, you may uproot the wheat with them. Allow both to grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather up the tares and bind them in bundles and burn them up, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" Now, I'm sure that you have heard all sorts of lessons on this parable, and I'm sure it has been explained to you that this particular tare that's being talked about here was a darter that looks just almost exactly like a wheat kernel, except it's a shade different color. And so that's why he said, you can't always, you know the old expression, you can tell a book by its cover? Tain't always true, folks. Tain't always true. Jesus said that some plants look deceptively like good plants when they're not. Some people look deceptively like good people when their heart is just as black can be. Jesus also used another figure of speech to describe both false teachers and those who follow them. That figure of speech was blind. Why are they blind? Well, the answer to that, of course, is because they don't love the truth. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9 through 11, or 9 through 12, that is, "The one who is coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders and with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. For this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they will believe what is false, in order that they all may be judged who did not believe the truth but took pleasure in wickedness." He says that they didn't, or he doesn't say that they didn't receive the truth. He says they didn't receive a love for the truth. So what does Jesus say will happen to them? Well, in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, he says both the false teacher and his follower will fall in the ditch and be lost. He says that not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. There's a difference between proclaiming to be doing God's will and actually doing God's will. Human traditions are deceptive because they may look and sound good, but in reality, they will cause Jesus to say, depart from me, I never knew you. We have to be careful because some traditions are divine in origin and must be kept. That's what Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 at verse 15. Other traditions are simply matters of judgment and aren't wrong unless they're made equivalent to God's law. However, having said that, most human traditions in religion violate God's law and should be abandoned. Rather than following human traditions, in which the blind lead the blind and both fall into a ditch, I would encourage all to seek God's will as revealed in the Scriptures. I would encourage each one to look at God's law, the Bible, and compare their life and their beliefs to what the Bible says. If they don't match up, then I would encourage you to change. If you've never obeyed the gospel, I would encourage you to seriously consider doing so this morning. It's not hard. It requires a change of your life, yes, but it's not hard. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, you are willing to repent of those sins that you have in your life. And we all have them from time to time. And you're willing to be baptized, you can become a child of God this morning. If you are a child of God and yet you have been following the world instead of God, you need to repent of that and ask God for forgiveness. He will forgive you. If you truly repent, it's not whether I think you repented. It's not whether any of your brethren think you repented. That has no bearing on anything. It's whether God thinks you repented. That's the one that counts. Maybe, as you're going through life, neither one of those is the problem. Maybe it's just simply you're having a hard time. Your health is not what you would like it to be or what you would hope it to be. Your home life is not what you want it to be. Whatever it might be, maybe you're simply having a hard time in life. And you need the prayers of your brothers and sisters in Christ. This would be a good time to let everybody know. Whatever it might be, if you're subject to the invitation of the Lord and we can be of assistance, won't you let us know as we stand and sing the song that's been selected?